Welcome to episode 239 of Fly Away. We're a group of travel agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or are just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so please be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Donna, George, Laura, and Lindsay. One size does not fit all when it comes to traveling and exploring the world. For plus-size globetrotters, that presents some challenges along the way, whether it's two snug airplane seats or spa robes meant for someone of a more diminutive stature. As journalist Michelle Spallange reminds us, take heart, problems are surmountable. Where there is desire to take a journey, there are workable solutions to ensure grand experiences. Tonight our discussion will focus on some of the challenges of traveling if you, like many of us on this podcast, are a fellow voyager of size, and then share some tips we have learned that we hope will be helpful as you plan your next adventure. So let's get started. So I actually belong to a Facebook group that's geared toward plus size travel for people who want to go to Disney.
Oh.
And I think it's a very positive space. People can ask anything. They're very strict about letting people in. People cannot share things that they see in there and things like that. And one of the things that people worry about a lot are airplane seats mm-hmm. and getting on the airplane. Mm-hmm. So
I mean that too, and it's very nice to have a place where you can go search and answer or search something and you don't feel like you're being judged for asking.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great group. Yeah. Yeah. But so have you guys ever had to think about that? Because I know that different airlines have different sizes. Mm-hmm. It really depends on the airline and the kind of plane.
Because you can't go just by the airline because it's the type of the model
plane. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then even whether it's a newer one or an older one, because even between the newer and the older, you see a size difference in the seats.
Mm-hmm. So what can you do to help figure that out?
Well, one of the things I've noticed, JetBlue actually had, I can actually literally cross my legs and not hit my knees on the tray tables. And they actually spout that as one of their advantages to flying JetBlue.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to do that when I can, just because I know that I've got a little extra space for myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are some websites where you can research once you find out on your ticket. And of course, that's all, you know, the airlines, the wind chain blows and they could change the plane that you're flying on. It could be changed 5 minutes before your flight. You don't know.
Yeah.
But there are websites out there that can help you, kind of get a bird's eye view or in advance of what seat is what size and knowing a general size. I typically like to fly Southwest. I feel like I have a little more, not only just more room, but I feel like I have more control over where I'm sitting when I don't have to pick my seat. Mm-hmm. And I can just go straight to the back and play the seat lottery and hope that no one's going to choose to sit next to the big lady in the back of the plane.
Sitting by the bathroom? Yeah.
It's so funny you say that. Last year I flew American nonstop from Boston to LAX, and the seats on that seem to have a lot more room for us than the normal Southwest flights would take.
Oh, so yeah.
I don't know if it's based on the length of the flight. Maybe they have a little bigger aircraft that has a little more room. Or
I wonder if that was the 737 MAX, because that I think a lot of their longer ones were. I just actually had my Cancun flight. I had a nonstop Cancun, and it was a 737 MAX, so I'm no longer on a nonstop. So I think that is, because Southwest only has a couple different kinds of planes. So
yeah.
The nice thing about, now only one really.
And sitting in the back, usually you do get that little extra space because people always fill up the beginning of the front of the plane first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things I heard about Southwest is that if you purchase an extra ticket because you think you want that space and you don't want to feel bad, you know, you've mm-hmm. bought the space, that if the flight is not sold out, they will refund that extra seat.
Oh. It's called their person of size policy.
Yeah.
Now, Southwest will reimburse. And I did pick up a flyer I was trying to research for this. I did pick up a flyer from Alaska Airlines when I flew them, and they have the same policy or similar policy.
Okay.
Well, does anyone know if all the other airlines do as well?
I don't know.
I don't know, but I think that would be something you could find out. Well, yeah. What's Laura, in the show notes you had put SeatGuru. Have you used SeatGuru to learn that kind of thing?
Yeah, you can go on there and you can put in the model airplane that you're using. Okay. I use it a lot for a lot of different things, but you can see how wide the seats are.
Okay, cool.
And then you can also see if because I had a, actually I did something that was, I wasn't as well as informed as I should have been. And I chose a bulkhead seat, not in the exit row, but in the very front, thinking that would, you know, give me a little bit of extra space, except bulkhead seats, the armrests don't go up.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And I literally could not fit in the seat. Like, there wasn't going to be any squeezing.
Yeah.
Unless I stood on my head. Send my feet over to the back, people behind me, there was no fitting in that area. And they handled it kind of as well as they could. Luckily, there was somebody who was willing to change seats with me.
Yeah.
So after that incident, I started looking.
Yeah.
If the armrests move up, because that's critical. It's absolutely critical.
The same thing is true with the exit rows sometimes. It's the solid wall armrests. And that is so disappointing because I'm a person of size both up and across. So I like the leg room and I have an exit row seat. And then I literally have to sit in the seat by turning my hips sideways and then pushing down. And I don't have to go anywhere for the rest of I'm like, I might need somebody to pull me out of here because that's the only way.
Well, and when Sandy and I were talking about this earlier today, I said, you know, I'm a short person of size, you know, but there are tall people of size, and then that's another. It's not, if you're not a person of size kind of around, you know, it's like, think of our friend Danny, who's, you know,
what's he like, 6'6" or something?
933 inches tall or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that, being able to fit in that way.
Right.
You know, he also has to take one leg and wrap it around his neck or something.
Yeah, and that's true. And actually, I've talked to him about flying, and then our friend Chad also, the same situation. And I know Danny actually just uses mile cards to make every purchase so that whenever he flies, he can upgrade with miles, because that's really for him, you know, being that tall. And that's the thing, the airlines don't necessarily look at you and say, you know what, you're right, you're really tall, I'm sorry, you should have a better seat.
Oh no, not even if the seats are empty.
No. There's none of that. And I think we've heard the horror stories of even celebrities being, you know, told that they need to get off the plane because there's not enough room for them, they needed to buy a second seat or whatever.
With one of the people you were just talking about, and I don't want to kind of out, but one of the people you were just mentioning, who's friends of ours, they also have some health challenges in their joints and bones that make it very painful for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even that will, you know, allow the airline. So sometimes you can make people aware of that, and bring a medical letter of necessity, which is what I suggested, so that you kind of have that, because, you know, if there are seats available for him not to have to use his, you know, for them not to have to pay more or use miles is really helpful, I would think. You know, that's a hard piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I use SeatGuru a lot. And I use it for, you know, for some of the folks that, unfortunately, that I serve that have kind of some severe medical needs and often have to be transferred to a seat. They can't get comfortable in their seats at all.
Mm-hmm.
They're used to very specialized wheelchairs when they have bad scoliosis and oftentimes they have to have like a care provider two seats over and they have to lie down on their lap during the flight.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way they can travel. And that's kind of a different person of size.
Right.
You know, issue. It's, you know, that they're smaller and their legs are smaller and how do they how do they accommodate that piece of this? You know, we're talking about the, you know, the primary, for the sake of this podcast, we're mostly focusing on folks who are abundant with our personalities and our bodies. But, you know, but there are also those other challenges that we're, you know, talking about. I don't know, guys, if you guys have seen, I don't know, on some of the internet websites, maybe some on Facebook now, but these things where they're kind of hanging, they hang something off the back of the tray that has like a little swing that you can put your feet in. And there's a young woman in my life who lives in North Carolina who is now is in, she actually organized the Disability Caucus for the Women's March. And from that has been brought into the spotlight and is doing some more traveling. And she has osteogenesis imperfecta, the brittle bones. And she started using that because flying across country used to be so, you know, her legs are very, she's very small. She's in her 30s, but she's very, very, probably wears a size 6 or 7 kids' clothes. So, you know, her legs, and it's not like she has to be really careful with her legs because they can break.
Wow.
You know, them being, yeah, so she started using that to fly across country. So there's all kinds of issues to think about. Mm-hmm. And Stigu has served very helpful for me.
Well, one of the things I know I do personally is I'm short of body but long of legs. And so I used to always get the window, but then I'd have to climb over people. And now I get the more, I'm more of an aisle person, just because then when the flight attendant isn't coming up and down the aisles, then I have a little bit more leg room because I can stick my knees out in the aisle.
I always do the aisle because then if I'm spilling over, I'm not spilling over onto somebody. If it should happen, then I'm going to.
See, I'm the opposite. I pick the window because I feel like I can lean into it. You know, I feel like you get a little bit of space.
I used to.
Yeah, and I also don't have the cart run into me when it comes down the aisle.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to try and hug the window, but then some planes, I think you get less. It used to bother me that where the armrest was, and you couldn't, that's an immovable armrest. So Josh has shown me one nice thing about having an airplane mechanic for a husband.
Chris showed me this trick too. Go ahead.
to flip the armrest up even when they are stationary, there's like a little thing. Anyway, we're not going to do that. Sorry. But yeah, so there's a little trick, but I couldn't get that armrest up. And then you're looking and you have 4 inches between where that armrest is against the window and the window itself. And I almost feel like, you know, that gap could be so much more comfort room if that armrest either just A, wasn't there, or B, if you could move it. It doesn't make any sense to me. And so it started, the more that it happened, it's not every plane that has that, but the more that it happened that there would be this big gap there and you're not allowed to put a bag there or anything, but here's this big space and you couldn't move it. So I started to move to aisle. And now I just pray I don't get the person next to me who, like, you know, in the 2-hour flight needs to pee 40 times.
Yeah. I know. I try not to disturb people when I'm sitting on that thing. Yeah. So let's talk about, let's move on from airlines
that
though.
Thing too is, you know, it's like I just kind of try and kill them with kindness.
Yeah.
You know, I know that me being the size I am is not their fault.
Yeah.
Not to say it's anyone's fault, but I just, you know, if there's somebody who is perturbed sitting next to me or who I know I'm, as you said, spilling over, you know, I just do everything. Some of that is, you know, it's like you stand with a foot in both worlds. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I deserve to be there and, for, you know.
But you can always buy them a drink if they, you know.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, or, you know, I deserve to be there and it never hurt, you know, a little kindness and thank you. You know, I know that I'm taking up a little bit more room and most, you know, 98% of folks are like, don't even worry about it. You know,
they
put their music on them for me not to be one of those people who talks the whole flight. And they kind of lose on both accounts. But anyhow.
I've sat behind people who were, I've sat next to people who were very understanding. And then I've also sat next to people who were just mean, just absolutely awful people. And it's kind of, it's so uncomfortable. It makes you so uncomfortable. You know, the eye rolls and and one of the meanest people wasn't even right next to me. He was like on the other side of the empty seat between us. And I was getting like looks the whole time. And
I think people who do things like that just don't have anybody in their life that they love who's ever dealt with anything like that. Mm-hmm. Because once you've taken a trip with someone or you have experienced it, or you know how like if people are renting the scooters, how it slows you down and stuff like that. It's not to get everybody to the front of the line at Disney, you know, and stuff. I think once you've experienced it and you know you're like how much longer the buses take and that kind of stuff, you look at it different. Mm-hmm. You know those people aren't rushing out after the fireworks. They're sitting there till the entire crowd leaves, you know? And so it's just, people just, it changes your perspective when you experience it. So.
Well, I think that, you know, there are just some people who don't have as joyful attitudes as other people. You know, they're going to complain about that. They're going to not be nice about the baby crying. They're not going to be nice to the person sitting next to them. Even if you're, you know, Twiggy, they don't want you to get up and go potty. It's just always going to happen. And I think for me, part of the point of us doing this podcast was to say, please don't stay home on your couch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get out there.
There are people that there's help out there. Yeah.
You know, you deserve a great life. You deserve to get out there. And there's always going to be people everywhere, and you can choose to make it mean something about you, or you can just choose to embrace it and suck it up. And you don't want to miss the Northern Lights. You don't want to miss Italy. You don't want to miss seeing your grandchild at Disney World. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to miss the person you're going to meet on your next trip. You just don't.
And you wait until, you know, oh, I'm not going to do that until I'm of this size, or until I do this, or until those days are waiting to do things.
Or one of the things too that I want to shake people and tell them is be in the pictures, you know, like, you might hate the picture of you, but the people who love you, they already know what you look like, you know, and they see you every day. Be in those pictures, because that's gonna, you know, you're gonna look back and you're gonna be glad you did, you know.
One milestone for me.
See, I just make sure it's from the head up.
Well, you know, you can always do things to pictures, you know, but
Donna's, you're not even a person aside.
just because I've lost a bunch, but I believe me, I was.
Well, when I was doing research for this, besides the research I've done for 57 years. Mm-hmm. It's that one of the articles I read said that 80% of people, it didn't even say women, 80% of adults are above the size of a woman's 14.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
And woman's 14 is what we consider plus size.
Yeah.
Of 80% of Americans.
Think about that. 80%
of American adults are above the size of 14.
Mm-hmm. But they keep making those airplane seats smaller and smaller.
And that's the thing. I got to tell you, because I'm very honest about my height and weight and everything. I'm definitely of the look. It's right in front of you, so I don't see why I would lie about it. And I wear between a size 18 and a 20, depending on the make of the dress, which isn't really that much larger than a 14, really. And I have trouble sitting in airplane seats. And I am literally this, like, half an inch away from having to use a seatbelt extender. So I don't understand why this is even a minority issue. It shouldn't be, you know, like it should be that everybody can't fit into airplane seats at this point. You know what I mean? Like there's so few people who really can fit comfortably or
that was
marginally.
A milestone for me was the first time I had to ask for a seatbelt extender. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I cried the whole flight. Like silent tears just rolling down my face until, you know, I had a conversation with my husband. And he's like, you know how many times those seatbelts get cut and shortened? Uh-huh. You know how many times like something's wrong? Like, if, you know, it's not every plane that I have to ask, but now I've gotten so much more. And I think I noticed it as on my last flight. I just ask for it right away now because even if I don't really need it and I have to tighten it all the way down to where it is, I have it and it's not a big thing. And yeah, you get big looks. And I really do hate when it's bright orange. Like, do we have to make it?
Can it not be the same color?
Draw as much attention to this as absolutely necessary. I've only been shamed once, and it was by a flight attendant, unfortunately.
Wow.
And the airline shall remain nameless. But there, she was really loudly like, oh, you need a seatbelt extend. Really loud. And well, like, you know, I had that attitude. And then she said it like four times. And she came over, here's your seatbelt extender. Do you need help with your seatbelt extender?
Oh, yeah. My God.
I've never had that happen. I mean, I hate that it happened to you, but I you know, once again, for anyone who's listening, who's, you know, considering this kind of issue or thinking about this kind of issue, it's not like they stand at the head of the plane. That is not the norm. And to be like, you know, seatbelt on aisle 21. You walk in. As I'm walking into the plane, I'll say, can I have a seatbelt extender? And they'll grab it. They'll put it in my hand. I mean, there's not even really usually a pause in the in the line. They hand it to me. And then what's really helpful, you know, if you have time, is roll it up and hand it back to them. If you don't, at least try and unhook it. You know, I've seen people, some people who talk about they buy their own seatbelt extenders. And the problem with that is that every airline has different seatbelts.
Yeah.
So it's like you can't always, you know, guarantee that's going to happen. But I've never been on a plane where they've run out of seatbelt extenders.
Right.
You know?
I think that was just she was probably just having a bad day, or maybe she had social awkwardness, or I don't know. Maybe she didn't mean. But, yeah, it was definitely an anomaly. It was not normally. Normally, they're very quiet about it, and they just hand it to you and get out of your day. But now I'm glad it happened to me, because I didn't burst into tears. Mm-hmm, which is very unlike the very first time that I even had to just ask if someone nicely handed me one. And I cried the whole flight. But I was completely fine with it, because I was going on a trip. And
well, and to Laura's point from earlier of, you know, make sure you get out there and don't let it hold you back. I think that there's so much anxiety wrapped up in this, and you need to look around that plane and realize how many other people have annoying habits or anomalies or whatever. I mean, I've sat next to people who dig through their pocketbook the whole time because they have anxiety. Yeah. And I mean, this one woman brought in a pocketbook. It was like a Mary Poppins bag, and she was just constantly pulling stuff out and putting through the whole flight. I'm like, just settle down, you know, just, you're making me nervous. So, you know, just, but that was her thing. And you can't really judge it. I've been hit by so many bags, by very thin, lithe people who have packed their entire belongings on their back and then swing down the aisle both ways as they're walking. And I've been knocked out by bags because I'm usually on the aisle. So, you know, everybody has something that makes them a bad traveler. And, you know, somebody else is very gassy, you know, everybody has those things that, and so if you are self-conscious, try to, you know, go outside of that and say, look, you are not the only one on the plane who is, bringing discomfort to someone, whether it's yourself or someone else. Everyone here is feeling the pressure of being in a little metal tube, you know, hurtling through the air. So it's all good. It's all good. You know, airplane travel is not glamorous.
I think we should move on from airlines and talk about some logistical comfort things, like, I don't know, like comfortable clothes and things to wear that help with thing like chafing issues and things like that.
If anybody ever ends up listening to this that is involved in the clothing industry, there is a major hole in plus size travel wear.
It's getting better, but
it's getting better, but it is still, because I'm between the 18 and 22, and I would buy everything in Travel Pro in that store if they had anything in my size, packable, travelable. When I did that trip and I packed, you know, I'm going to talk about this for the rest of my life because it's never
happened. It's a big deal.
But when I packed like 40 days in a carry-on, 40 days of my 20, 22 size clothing in a carry-on, I had to shop for that stuff in so many different stores and online. That were so many purchases that were returned, that to weigh the fabric, to get the right consistency of fabric. It is so hard as a plus size person to find packable.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just going for if it fits and looks nice. It has to be a certain.
It's not like you can just pop into REI and get like their travel wear.
And I had the same issue because I was traveling in Europe. I was 3-4 months pregnant, and there are no maternity shops either.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
did you lose your luggage there too?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, of course I did.
So,
So, you know, I ended up having to wear my husband's shorts, and I took one of his belts and, like, cinched it up so that it would actually fit me. But I had to go shop in the men's department because these little European women are about the size of my pinky, and mm-hmm. I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they lost my luggage the last time. I had to buy 4X pants.
Yeah.
You know, for ski pants, and they were men's because those are the only ones that I could actually button.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I think that fabric thing is important. And for a while there was a trend in plus size clothes to make it out of that scuba fabric, which is like super heavy and thick too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was like, why are we doing this? But because it's form fitting, but flattering, you know, it's not like clingy,
and
but
it makes you sweat like a pig.
Yeah. There was this terrible trend of that a while ago, but you were talking about chafing. So you're talking about when you're wearing dresses and then walking around a lot.
Yeah. So, things yeah. like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's, you know, cause I run, well, I used to run, I haven't run in a while, but there's a lot of really good, anti-chafe kind of things. Like,
it comes in like a solid deodorant. I use Glide.
Yeah. Yeah. Glide is good.
I like Monistat makes an anti-chafe and it dries like silky powder.
Hmm.
I think I talked about this on the running podcast and you're like, don't mm-hmm. talk about it.
but they also
makes one, and Lemongrass Spas makes one. There's quite a few companies out there that make them.
Yeah, that and like the Gold Bond. Well, Gold Bond makes an anti-chafe thing too now, but they also the powder is good to have. But I wear like bike shorts under mm-hmm. all my skirts and dresses and stuff now because
that have built-in shorts.
I miss Skort.
Skorts, like lightweight skorts, those have been a godsend for travel for me.
Yeah.
But you do have to be sure that your shorts fit well, too. It's not just dresses, because I know gentlemen, and George is remaining silent, but I know gentlemen will face this problem, too. If the shorts, if they're too baggy or whatever, you get the same problem. So.
Oh, yeah, I've seen.
They're too short.
Yeah.
They need to be a little longer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, and I've noticed the trend for men's shorts now is getting shorter mm-hmm. because my boys don't like short shorts, and it's getting shorter. Mm-hmm. It's getting harder to
put. Look like a 1970s NBA. Yeah.
Exactly. There were swim trunks that were like a 6-inch inseam. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Why does anyone want this?
Yeah.
Nobody does.
I think my eldest just ordered some of those, actually. Oh, God. I purchased them based on a link that he sent me, and I'm like, these look really short, but I didn't, like, so we'll see. I'll tell you in a couple of days when I get here.
Capris.
But I've even been getting Facebook ads for basically a company that's now selling bicycle shorts as anti-chafe shorts. I was like, those are just bicycle shorts.
Yeah.
But you put them on under your skirts, your mm-hmm. dresses. I was like, this is like the oldest trick in the book. And they're actually marketing it. It's genius.
Yeah. It's so. Like, you'll see it in lingerie sections mm-hmm. now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That it's like skinnies and so you can ride your bike with your skirt on. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. But those are kind of genius,
they were way ahead of you. Us big girls were way ahead.
That's right. We've been doing this forever.
We've been making news since we were 6.
Things like that too, that you can, you know, pour yourself into. That, you know, with the shorts and everything. So,
yeah,
I do have a kind of a funny big girl travel story. But I was I have two younger sisters, and the one who's closest to me was in the Peace Corps in Senegal. And my other sister, who actually has been a guest on our show, went to visit her and wound up marrying the best friend of the guy of the my sister's 18 months younger than me, was dating somebody. My other sister went to visit them and wound up marrying the best friend of the person my sister was dating. Anyhow,
got it. Yeah.
Shortly after my dad passed away. And she not only married him, but went to live in Senegal with him right after they were married, West Africa. And my nephew, who's almost 23, was born there. And they lived there for the first 4 or 5 years of their married life. And after my dad passed away, I just had this desire. It's like my sister had been there for 5 years. My other sister had been there with the Peace Corps. My nephew had been born there. I really wanted to visit that country, you know, and be where they, and they were going over to visit. So my husband at that time and I went over for like 10 days, and we wound up We were in Senegal. We wound up at the outdoor market buying fabric. You know, with the beautiful fabrics of of all the countries in Africa, on the African continent. And I saw this thing I really loved. It was, now we're going to laugh because this is really a big girl story now, but it's supposed to be a tablecloth. But I knew that I could put buttons on the side of it. It was beautiful, bright yellow, and had each squares are about 3x3 of all different colors. And I really wanted it. And I hadn't, you know, you guys have been with me, you know, I'm not the shopping kind of girl, but I was like, I got, oh my God, be great. And you know how I was thinking about, ooh, I could wear every shirt with that. It'd be so fun and life of the party. And so we begin the bartering process, and we have my sisters. It's very common in those countries for everybody to kind of have a maid or someone like that. And we had my sister's old maid, and he took care of my nephew for a little while with us. They were bartering back and forth. They were helping me barter, and all of a sudden they both start giggling hysterically at my sister doing this. And I said, what's going on? And her maid said something to her. Michelle says, go ahead. And she said, he likes your big butt. He says, if you'll just come over and give him a hug and kiss him on the cheek, he'll give it to you for half. And I said, really? Well, you know how I hate to hug people. She said, now he said, will you marry him? Anyway, that was the joke of the Trevor moment. I'm like, he likes your big butt. And I said, I'm moving to Senegal. there are countries where your abundanceness is celebrated.
That just reminds me. That's what the cab driver said to me in Puerto Rico. Do you remember that, Lindsay?
That he likes your big butt?
He told me. So we were going to downtown San Juan, and I don't know if it was a cab or an Uber, but we had someone else with us, and Lindsay and the other lady got in the back, and I got in the front. And I was like, yeah, we don't want all three to sit back there. He's like, it's okay. I like the big ladies. I'm like, what the? Yeah. What?
Where was I always buying that painting?
Oh, that was Tortuga. Oh, right.
Get on by the.
So this podcast has taken a turn.
Yeah, I know, right?
Shall we return to the subject?
This is a family podcast.
So I would like to talk about shoes, because this is actually something. This is something near and dear to my heart, which I also believe I am terrible at actually doing, but I can talk about it because I see people miserable all the time, especially in theme parks. Mm-hmm. Make sure you get yourself
good shoes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get yourself good shoes. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people with their shoes, you know, basically on as slides because the backs are rubbing them. So they've flattened the backs of their shoes and they're walking on them, which is also horrible for your heels and your plantar fasciitis. Mm-hmm. It's just horrible. Get good shoes and wear them. If your sneakers look horrible with your dress, okay. Sorry, but it's okay, you know, and
just
even
cut that part of the picture off.
Yeah, cut that part of the picture off.
Important for your health and your enjoyment, especially when you're traveling and you're walking for very long distances, you're doing stairs, if you're in Europe, you're doing cobblestones, you're doing concrete, spend the money on the shoes. Save the money.
Except when they lose your luggage.
Okay. Wear the shoes on the plane.
Wait, that's why you have your shoes and a couple outfits in your carry-on, or you pack everything in the carry-on and you have it on the plane with you so that that doesn't happen, you know, just like your bras of unusual sizes, of unusually large size, which is my fear. I will always have extra bras in my carry-on because I'm not finding the size in most of the places I'm going. Mm-hmm. There's no way I'd be in horrible stuff. But shoes, spend the money. I don't think I have a pair of shoes that I travel with that unfortunately was under $100. They're all, you know, like Romikas. Mm-hmm. I think maybe my Tevas are cheaper than that. Tevas, Tiras. If I have wide feet with high arch, so I always kind of go for the more support. But find that shoe that works for you and get a couple. And then don't just take one pair of shoes. That's the other thing people do.
Mm-hmm. They take one pair of sneakers. And I was in Italy, and by the time, within 24 hours, they were shot because all the cushion was gone.
You should be switching your shoes every day to give your shoes a breather, even if they're tennis shoes, to come to let them come back up and swapping them. It's better for your feet. But yeah, us big girls and guys, we got to take care of our feet or you're going to be miserable your entire trip.
Yep.
Which my mom was one of those Fred Flintstone kind of girls, and I wore Crocs all over the place. They were great for airports. I could slide in, slide out. You know, it worked really well. But they're, you know, the Crocs have, you just got to be very coordinated all of the time because all of a sudden you can find yourself skidding and tripping all over yourself. And I have recently, probably within the past 18 months, found a brand called Propet, P-R-O-P-E-T. And they not only make, you may have seen me with some of these on the cruise, but they're like, they're very bright colors. And, you know, my feet are an 8.5 men's wide. Let me repeat that. An 8.5 men's wide. If you don't understand what that means, it means that the shoe boxes fit me better than the shoes.
And Laura, my feet are bigger than yours.
Fun or my interpretation, I'm going to own of girly, you know, that looked in any way delicate. Everything looked like clunky men's running shoe. Clunky men's, you know, and just, there's only so much you can do with really nice black silk pants and a clunky men's running shoe. You know, nothing says, you know, more like, do you ever get out than that? And so Propet, one of the things I love that they've done and that is really great for traveling is just about every, they have a lot of like shoe boots, kind of like ankle high things, and they zip down the inside every, and they're not like boots. They're just go up to your ankle, but you can unzip them. So I have pink leather and I have gray leather and I have brown leather. And you can unzip them and slide in and slide out and then zip them right up. You don't have to worry about, you know, standing in the middle of the, in the city of the music trend, lace up here, you know, or the airport or whatever, you can zip in and zip out. And they're very well made. And your feet don't sweat, you know, or anything like that. Smell really bad when you take them out. Or
so that's, I'm going to have to pay attention next time I see you. I'll have to look through your shoes.
I'm looking that company
up. I'll send you a link afterwards.
We can put it in the show notes, maybe.
Yeah, I think we are not sponsored by them, sadly. No. That would be nice. But but still.
I found, like, my Romikas. I think I'm on my, like, I want to say 8th or 9th pair of Romikas. They are the only dressy sandal that I've ever found that has enough support and they're comfortable. But I did just buy a pair of Nautes.
And see, I love Mephisto's for sandals.
Mephisto's?
Yeah, it's a French-German company that, I mean, I bought a pair of sandals, walked right out in Assisi and wore them for 48 hours, and they were awesome.
Romikas are German, I think, and I don't know what Nautes are. But
well, and I think the big thing is you also need to not only just buy them, but you need to wear them before you go too. That's the other mistake people make is, oh, I bought these for the trip and they wear them for the first time. And then, you know, actually my eldest just got back from 4 countries in Europe, a school tour. And there was I think one day in Prague, they logged 28,000 steps or something like that. And, he was wearing Converse and he had one pair of shoes for the whole trip.
That's a teenager for
me. I swear.
I used to think kids were the best shoes.
Yeah. I mean, his shoes were ruined just from walking.
Yeah.
But they walked a lot. So you want to make sure that you've worn them before so that you know how they rub and, you know, where they're tight and give them a chance to stretch a little bit.
And buy them a little bit big because your feet are going to swell if you're walking a lot. Mm-hmm. Running shoes are like that. I've gone up like a whole size in running shoes since I started running because my feet swell.
Even just walking, doing those challenges because my feet swelled so much, I would bring one size for the 10K and then another size, a half size bigger for the
Yeah. Well, especially if you're going to do something like running or if you're going to a rainy place, you want 2 pairs of shoes because I've been caught in rainstorms and all my friends are like trying to figure out how to get their shoes dry. And I'm like, I got this dry pair of shoes that I'm going to wear for, you know, tomorrow. All the first
Probably
ones.
Are. Like a plus size travel thing, but just a good job thing is to bring a little first aid kit. With some moleskin and some, you know, just bring a little first aid kit. Think of all the things that could happen to your, you know, your without your feet, you ain't go, you know, without, if your feet are hurt, nothing's fun.
Yep.
So one other thing that I always have to pack and carry on is a swimsuit, because I like, those are my, a bra and a swimsuit, I know I will never be able to find anywhere. That nothing is going to fit me. So that's one other thing to have beforehand. And we should probably move on to like other awesome tips about like what to do when you go to the spa. And
we're out of time. We got to do a follow up.
Already over time.
Yeah. I would say, like, in wrapping up though, I would say don't let it hold you back or keep you from going. There's resources out there. There's great Facebook pages for plus size where you can ask any question. People will say, this is my size, this is my weight. They're going to post a picture for reference and they're going to tell you what they fit on in Disney World, you know. And so that's out there. Go look for it, because it'll really help you, you know, be brave enough to try. So having said that, that is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review in iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Elizabeth, Donna, Lindsay, Laura, George, and myself, Sandy, thanks for joining us this week, and we'll see you next time. Gotta fly. Thank you.